Welcome to our newest adventure for first responder wellness. No one fights alone. In-depth conversations about mental health and culture in the first responder space. We're joined by your co-hosts, Austin Pedersen and Brad Shepard.
Welcome back to the No One Fights Alone podcast. Today, I have the pleasure of actually being in Utah, Midway, Chateau, at this beautiful podcast room with Austin and Ben. Hi, boys.
Good afternoon.
That's the first time I've ever been or I've ever heard this called beautiful, but
that's a stretch.
It's the fruits of Ben and I's labor.
It's homely.
Yeah.
It's very homely.
It is homey or homely?
Both. A little bit of both.
Yep.
You know, it looks like we've done something in here, whether I was asleep when we put it up is another question.
Yeah. It's made for talking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, here it is, December. This will probably release here in the next little bit, but here we are closing hard on Christmas. And are you guys ready for Christmas?
No.
My wife has informed me that she's pretty prepared.
We don't have a Christmas tree. We don't have lights up. We don't.
Wow. Well, hey, Bob, I'm bugging it over there.
It feels to me like it's still March. Like the weather, all of it together.
Yeah, that's true.
Makes it feel like March to me.
So this feels like a little passive winter. This doesn't feel like a Utah winter to me up here right now. Doesn't feel like December up here.
No. Last 2 years set an expectation. It's a disappointment if you're looking at those 2 years.
Yeah. It snowed twice.
One big storm. That's about it.
Yeah. A
couple of small ones.
Yeah. A couple of small ones that didn't even stick.
Yep. But no, I'm sure my kids are going to have a great time. I will also find out what they got. The moment they do.
Did you get Sammy anything for Christmas? Have you done that part yet?
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Okay, good.
Absolutely. It's our relationship.
You'll probably be.
Yeah. The gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah. For the rest of our
lives. She may forget to say thank you.
Yeah.
A gift that potent is sometimes ironically forever. Easy to forget.
Yeah. How dare she, you know? But I got her another gift. I did.
She's so ungrateful.
Yeah. I got, I've actually already given her gift because she was home when the package came. So
there you go.
She opened it and said, thanks for the Christmas gift.
Stop.
Yeah. That's what happens when your wife works from home.
You're like, hey, I was going to put it under the tree.
Yeah. But we don't have a tree.
Yeah. So
are you ready for Christmas?
I have a Amazon. I think I paid $110 for a pre-decorated, pre-lit tree, and it too is homely, but it exists. So it exists,
so your puppy can destroy it.
That new puppy did try to chew on the lights several times, but
yeah, your guys.
Yeah, my dog's doing great.
Your guys' home might be a little bit different than mine. I have at least three trees.
Mm. Ooh,
are your kids chewing on the lights too?
No, that's mostly me. Just the late nights when I play Fortnite with my daughter. That's about when that happens.
Yeah. we are going into the season. We're in between Thanksgiving holidays and Christmas. And as much as I enjoy visiting with you both, I would like for us to at least touch on some of the hurdles that come with holiday spirit. Or lack of holiday blues, just kind of what that looks like, maybe what some of our listeners can look forward to, or maybe even offer up some advice and wisdom as to how do you do this if you're alone or by yourself or having really dark thoughts, not wanting to do anything, fuck the world.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I'll go if that's okay with you. I'm gonna speak a little bit differently on this, you know, couple of months. I think if you look at it from the outside looking in, people's emotions are definitely very heightened during this time. I think there is a lot more of the a lot more fighting, a lot more sleepless nights, a lot more stress, not only in your personal life. You know, you got family, you got gifts. Can we afford it? Can we not afford it? You know, all of those type of things. In the work life, I think everyone wants to get everything done by January 1st. So you are just under the gun.
Working home.
Yep, working home every single day. The sun comes up later, goes down earlier. You know, you're leaving when it's dark and you're getting home when it's dark. It's depressing, to say the least. So I think that it's almost a conversation of understanding and expecting that these emotions, these stressors, and these things are going to happen during this time of the year. And you have to somewhat be prepared for them. Like, I don't think that anyone wants to, and they always use the holidays as an excuse. We're going to fight during Christmas, you know, or you're going to be depressed during Christmas, or you're not going to get out of bed, or whatever it is. And if you're not accountable and understand that, I mean, this is, you're not alone, first off.
Well, the research shows that, you know, domestic violence or those type of interactions for law enforcement responses or law enforcement calls are higher this time of year. And that's a direct reflection of where most of the population is in some form or fashion. Not that you're committing domestic violence. I don't mean to imply that. I'm just saying the pressure's on and it shows by numbers.
Yeah. And I mean, there's a ton of research, and maybe Ben can talk more on the research side if he wants about it. But, you know, I'm just talking from the, at least being, you know, answering phone calls for a lot of years on our admissions line, and, you know, his own personal experience as well, that people don't deal well with these times. And there's a large majority of people that want this to end very, very quickly. Like, they want this time to be over with.
And it's, well, also, you know, I can personally attest to, you know, kind of this side of it's pretty new to me. The last, this set of holidays has been different, but the last set of holidays, I experienced a level of sadness and embraced it, because I had talked to some people, you being one of them, Austin, and really said, just lean into this emotion. But that, it pretty much Thanksgiving to Christmas last year was almost an unexplainable sadness. Like, wait, what? Why? What is happening? You know, it just existed in it. Said, okay, this is real. I'm here with it.
But this too shall pass, though.
But it's gonna, yeah, and it did.
Yeah, and I think that
it was weird. It was kind of weird.
You're in a different spot in your life. Like, you don't have young kids, right? Like,
that's, they're gone.
I think for me, like, looking at it in a way of Christmas is not as exciting as I looked at it when I was younger. We don't have kids yet.
Little shits.
And but that brings a little bit of the Christmas spirit in, I think. You know, like, as people growing up, it's an exciting time for them, presents and, you know, lights. And I have a lot of fond memories of this time of year. But then as I've gotten older and separated away from my family, lives in different states, or, you know, we're not young anymore, and it just doesn't hold the same joy, which is actually extremely sad if you think about it.
I think that's a ton of the pressure. No, I think it's interesting how this time of year represents so many different situations and ways that we start to evaluate our lives, and where am I in the spot where I thought I would be a year from now or a year ago, or kids, my memories. There's just so many different areas of our lives that are kind of poked at in this time of year. And it does increase the tension. It does increase, for lack of better words, we get to see a lot more of each other's coping mechanisms, or a lack of sometimes. And so we've got not only the crime rate going up for different reasons, but just abuse, kids, tension, expectations, like everyone's feeling it.
Road rage.
What's that?
Road rage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's just the list of things is just very different from any other part of the year, of people reflecting, looking on where they're at in their marriages and their parenting or in their jobs or whatever. And unless they've got some pretty shiny nuggets of hope and real motivation and clarity, that the other stuff kind of creeps in and definitely is in the forefront, especially when you see other folks. In our day and age right now, what's in our face is constantly social medias of who else is having a great Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
And how they're killing it. And for those
doing... How much fun they're having.
Yeah, they're having tons of fun. And guess what? We're skipping Christmas. We're doing it in Maui this year. Why aren't you?
Yeah.
Right?
Is the Everybody implied. Else has money except me.
Yeah. And those doing shift work, I mean, those kind of contrasting and comparing sort of moments is, I'm not going to be there. I'm not going to be there for the thank you. I'm not going to be there for the fun, the enthusiasm, or any of those kinds of things. And who do you talk to about it? Who do you speak up to about it? I'm thinking about it a lot more just given the group that we have in the house right now. And, you know, it's tough to be the person that's struggling with some of those, you know, if you have, heaven forbid you've got mental health issues before the season comes along. It's not great news. But you add those two together and it's, I don't want to speak up about my concerns or my issues. I don't want to vent to anybody or talk about what's going on. I'm going to ruin their spirit.
Drag everybody down.
Yeah. And it's tough enough to get people to talk about how they're doing from the mental health perspective. And when you think that if I speak honestly about what the season does for me, and it's not just shits and giggles, there's some shame and frustration. So just unintentionally, I assume, everyone's just got a few more reasons to not speak up and connect and do all the things they need to do to feel involved.
You know, I think that's actually a great word in that you had right in the middle there, which is connect. I think that the disconnect, and it's funny, the concept of that word is you can be in a room full of people and be completely disconnected and alone or lonely. And
I think that's the way most people feel with their family. I hate to say it, but
holiday parties in general.
Yeah, holiday parties. Why am I absolutely
here? Who are these people? But I hate every one of them.
You're supposed to spend all this time with your family, and the family is one of the biggest causes of stress in our life.
But isn't that, Ben, maybe this, I guess, isn't that a lot of that's expectations of kind of this is what they expect of me, and maybe some underlying expectations in return? You know, they don't appreciate me, or don't, they haven't wanted anything to do with me all year. Now I'm supposed to be nice to these fuckers.
I mean, right.
Yeah.
Right.
I feel that at my core, man. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the unresolved part of relationships is extra heavy for sure.
Yeah.
I think that, it's funny because the holidays are kind of connected to some of our concepts around love, right?
100%.
Mm-hmm. And I was talking about this last week with someone, and when we think about love and the holidays, it's about how well other folks typically do loving us. And there's a lot of expectations that we come into, whether it's childhood, whatever, but we have a lot of expectations of this is when they're finally going to show up for me. This is the season when they're really supposed to get better at.
This is the year.
This is the time. I've been waiting for months for this moment and this fucking present. This is the best they could do to apologize for all the other stupid stuff they did.
Yeah.
I mean, we build these narratives, right? We build these concepts about what's going on. And what our definition of love is mostly about being loved. Holidays is a pretty sad time.
Yeah.
Because it's about how I wasn't loved and how I wasn't connected with folks.
What's missing,
how I may have failed. Mm. But unfortunately, more often than not, it's how they may have failed me and not shown up. And so I think when you add that in there, it's tough. Now contrast that with the other implied message of the holidays, which is to be loving.
Yeah.
Right? And if I'm not doing so hot and I'm irritated and tired and discouraged and frustrated and I've got this scorecard of all the things that have not gone well over the course of the year, hoping this person shows up and balances the whole thing out, and that doesn't happen. It's tough to, regardless of your background religiously, it's hard to show up and show that brotherly love that this season's also supposed to be about.
I'm bringing a lot of shit to the table.
Yeah, well, can I throw a little wrench in that, which is one of my favorites, is when someone has spent the year working on themselves and changing.
Great point.
Going to therapy, doing the things that they deem necessary to live a better life with their family and with their other ones, anyone they're spending the holidays with. And you put this expectation, because I changed and because I've done everything, this person better have done the same thing.
Yeah.
And the reality is they're the exact same person.
Right.
Right.
Since the year before you saw them. And you put all this expectation on, I've done so much work, now they better tell me either how amazing I am or how much I've done. They better treat me differently.
If they really love me.
If they really love me. Right. And when they don't get that, when they get the constant that that person has been for the last 40 years of their life, it is infuriating to people. Mm-hmm. And that expectation turns into the argument. And that expectation turns into, I mean, that's why a lot of people in the beginning of their sobriety, when they go back to the holidays, go back home for the holidays or spend time with their family, they actually do relapse.
Because I remember the first time my first sober Thanksgiving with the now ex-in-law sitting in a chair reminiscing, and the concept was, I remember why I drank.
100%. 100%. Yeah, I remember the first one too. Yeah, it was not very fun.
Very unpleasurable.
Yeah.
But I do think kind of going back to that concept of, and maybe this is a stretch to try to tie that into the expectations, but what I'm bringing to the table has a direct impact on what I'm going to take away from that event. Mm-hmm. Is that fair? Mm-hmm. So if I'm walking in there with these expectations of, they better love me or I'm out, you're setting yourself up for a pretty significant.
Oh, no one wins.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, everyone's screwed.
Yeah.
You're guaranteeing it with that mindset.
Yeah.
But you can't see it. How could you see it in the moment?
Right.
Right.
Right. And it doesn't happen. That kind of stuff doesn't happen like, this is my direct intention. It just, it's an underlying undertone of, you know, you show up and then somehow you walk away mad and disappointed or hurt or.
Yeah. Well, I think, as you mentioned earlier, if you've been working on yourself all year, and again, one of the last things in my experience, one of the last things that people want to do is probably brag a little bit about how they've grown up. People don't like asking for that kind of attention, even though it's something we all deeply crave. We want people to be like, wow, all these unspoken decisions you've made and all these really cool things you've faced and how fears inspiring. You've conquered.
Yeah.
We all would love it if people acknowledge that part of our growth. And to be honest, it's none of their business, nor would they know about it unless we speak up about it. And so, yeah, it's really interesting how people might grow over the course of the year, or in some ways just kind of silently wait and hope that things dramatically improve. And then it is, you know, the laundry. It is the dishes. That's what, you know, blows up. And then everyone's scratching their head of what's going on. So I think that adds to some of the holiday tension.
What's that thing you always say about there's a high percentage of fights that are not actually about that piece?
No, there's a guy that wrote a book about generational trauma, and he was making the point that 70% of what's going on in an argument between a couple has nothing to do with the present moment. It is about history. It's about other stuff that might be unresolved or unexpressed or some of those kinds of things. And I think that's super common in the name of keeping the peace. I mean, welcome to what every first responder has ever talked about in group.
Just for the listeners, sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. Yeah.
I was actually just going to ask if you would paint a picture of that just for the listeners as to a fictitious. What does that look like? What specifically are you
for the percentage thing?
Yeah. Of what that fight doesn't have anything to do with the current moment.
Oh, right. No, I think
paint us a picture of what that looks like if sure. we took a peek in a fictitious home.
No, I think what is a common mix is that all of us, you know, wrap up our childhood with some sort of expectations of how love is going to be, mm-hmm. and how people are going to show up for me and connect with me. Some of us have some bigger challenges than others when it comes to that, the rejection and failure and disappointment that might be part of our childhood. But we accumulate some of this baggage, and because oftentimes we lean towards avoidance and control, we don't typically ever resolve some of these kinds of issues. And so we end up kind of accumulating, ironically, some more negative expectations. People continue to let us down. We get worse at telling them what we need. We're not great teachers about our mental health or some of our boundaries. In the name of peace, we'll sacrifice honesty for comfort, oftentimes, as Brené Brown says. And so what we do is we end up creating this baggage that we drag along with us in relationships that we typically have a lot of shame about, but we have a lot of expectations about how people are going to show up for us. And we put unintentionally this responsibility for our mental health and for our happiness on this next thing, whatever the thing happens to be. And in the holidays, it's, you know, I want you to read my mind and figure out all the passive aggressive hints I made all year about what would really be neat. Whether that's compliments or whether it's trinkets or whatever it might be.
Perfect gift, the perfect party, yeah. the perfect
It's also the perfect event. Conversation, the perfect yeah. apology, yeah. The perfect yeah. whatever it might be.
Thank you. Yeah, whatever it is.
And so
yeah.
there's this
appreciation.
There's this thing we do. We end up casting loads of this responsibility on other people, again, often unintentionally. And so they do their best because they're likely in survival mode as well. That's also what we forget about in the holidays, is that mm-hmm. everyone's in survival mode. And what happens inevitably are two unhappy people not getting what they need, a little tired, discouraged, frustrated, or whatever those things might be. And instead of finding some assertive, you know, thoughtful way of talking about what's going on for me and what I really need, what would be an awesome gift, whether it's patience or kindness or whether it's actually a material object. Because those conversations are still something we're not great at sometimes, we put a lot of pressure on some of these mundane little moments. Getting home a little bit late, you know, not remembering everything on the grocery list, or, you know, being grouchy with the kids, or cutting some little corner. I mean, I can't count how many well-intended couples get a little irritated, say a little thing, but do great most of the time. And then just some little passive, irritated, sarcastic thing leaks out that hints that they actually have some real wounds and some real frustration. Mm-hmm. Instead of assertively just owning it and talking about it, it ends up being this awkward conversation about who didn't screw on the ketchup tight enough.
Who didn't hide the elf?
And this is after a long, hard day at a work yeah. environment with the same people.
Right, yeah. right. And they may have spent all day venting That's as well, right. and we're all trying to just yeah. commiserate in the name of yeah. you know, making it a little bit further down the line. So I think there's moments like that where, yeah, some of these smaller moments just, yeah. I wish we could just show up and just say, I need a hug.
Well, I was actually going to ask that. Let's yeah. expand on that. What does the opposite look like in those moments of tension and unrealistic expectations and maybe I can't read your mind?
Yeah, it's honesty.
What does that look like?
It's honesty.
Okay, what does that look like in that moment, though? I mean, you painted a really good picture.
I agree with Austin. I think honesty is huge, and I would say a vulnerable form of honesty.
Yeah.
I think there are some folks that think if I just do some sarcastic quip, that's just being honest. Mm-hmm. You want to know what I really think? I think your tree's stupid. Hey, I'm just the messenger. Yeah, I'm just being honest.
Messenger.
Yeah. Yeah. Why aren't you saying thank you? No, I think vulnerability is that opposite yeah. part. Vulnerability is when we take all the requirement off of them to figure out what's going on for us.
Yeah.
right? We quit setting up the resentment. We could set up this scenario where they're finally going to take better care of us. I think the vulnerability is, it may not be the hug, but it might be, I'm tired, I'm discouraged. I did everything I could, and I still don't feel like I got you what you needed or deserved for the holiday. Like there's moments when we can just get painfully real about our efforts as well as our intentions, as well as just this is the best I have to offer, and I'm willing to offer it, but it may not be completely aligned with where I want to be.
And I think you're right, but I think the problem that we have with what we believe is vulnerability and what is vulnerability are two separate things, because in my head, me saying being vulnerable is saying I'm tired. I've had a long day and I cut it there. That's my vulnerability. That's not actual vulnerability. That's not continuing the conversation with I couldn't get you what I think you needed this year because I'm tired. Because I'm barely making it each day. It is what we look at it as vulnerability as men is just talking about a feeling, but not expanding on that.
We can barely get the feeling out.
Yeah, but that's where we lose people, because it's not vulnerable anymore. Because every other time I've told somebody I'm tired, I'm shut off at that point. So to your partner or spouse or kid, what they're reading from that language is leave them alone, leave mom alone, leave dad alone, give them some space, let them sit in front of the TV.
Oh, it's worse than that. Yeah. They're thinking, I'm too much.
Yeah.
Mm.
I'm clearly a burden,
mm-hmm.
right? And unless we slow down and actually tell that person, like, no, this is not you, this is me, which is tough. I think that's a vulnerable move for a lot of folks. Like you said, when we're having a hard time just getting the words out, I think it's tough for us to kind of validate that I have an impact on somebody.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm not enough, or I'm tired, or I'm exhausted, or I just got, just mangled at work today, I think it's tough to say, and I know that leaves you hanging. I know that you have had to cover for me. Whether it's the impact on our spouses or our kids or our family or whatever it might be, I think the other part of that vulnerability is acknowledging, like, I do my best and I still hurt you sometimes. Or that you have to work extra hard to cover for what I couldn't do. I think that's a different kind of thank you.
Yep.
Than sorry, I forgot the milk.
And the opposite of that would be a pretty, pretty clear defined resentment-based response of, fuck you can do it yourself or it won't get done.
Right.
I mean, that...
Yeah, so ungrateful.
That's what the opposite of that looks
like. I work all day for you and I forget this one thing. And yeah, as you were mentioning earlier, I think, how do we get out of that and get into a healthier space? Mm-hmm. I think it's tough when we're in our tired, exhausted, overwhelmed holiday spirit to show up for people and just say, like we talked about earlier, thanks.
So some of our listeners are hearing this and say, he's speaking to my soul, because I've heard that before on some of these little banner podcasts that we've done. If they hear this and say, oh yeah, I'm in it. How do they get out of that? What's some next steps first step for stopping this kind of crazy cycle?
Swallow your ego.
Yeah.
Talked about, I mean, I'm real stuck on from your guys' group earlier, just because I got to sit in for an hour.
We had a fun group this morning.
But I think everyone was wondering the same thing in that group, and you guys answered the question of like, how do we, what's the first step? I think you actually literally said that the first step was swallowing your ego and being the one to have a little bit of recognition and understanding of what's going on.
I see you.
Yep.
That was the point of that one.
Yeah.
I see you. I see you working hard.
Yeah. Doesn't mean that your interpretation or anything's ever going to be perfect or right. But there is a first step.
I see how much you care. I see you caring in little bits.
Yeah, you're doing. The other person, I thought a great one was when you guys were bringing it up and talking about it, was you spoke about you not being the person at that moment and you not doing the job to the best of your capabilities at that moment, because that's where you were at as well. But there was an acknowledgement piece that Brad was doing the best he could to convey his needs right then. That recognition piece was big. You did the best you could right then.
However bad it was.
But that's not the point, right?
Like, clearly, yeah.
Yeah. So you killed the point 100%. Yeah. You're judging yourself there.
There's that bad humor coming in.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, that was my uncomfortableness with you. Yeah, in that moment.
Yeah, but it's a very powerful statement to understand that you have a therapist who's been doing this for 20 years going, I'm not doing a great job right now. You, on the opposite side, are also thinking the same exact thing.
Yeah.
That's a perfect example of what's going on in people's relationships.
No, that's fair.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. I think it's a tough move. And I talk about this in groups a lot, that usually what helps me make that first step is I finally have to notice someone else's pain. And I wish that I was really good at noticing all the different forms of pain. But unfortunately, it has to be really annoying and in my face for me to be like, ouch, this person's actually suffering. Mm-hmm. So I respect suffering.
I think most people do.
I think so. I think it pokes an important part of us, the part that's still good. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to feel pain.
The
bullseye. But I think that's, as we talk about how do we get to a humble place of maybe gratitude, maybe just acknowledgement, maybe it's just fatigue. But I think there is something really powerful about speaking when we notice those kinds of things. It is the exact same thing we're hoping for, right? All of us are hoping to be seen, to be acknowledged. I don't think anyone's sitting in their car in their drive home thinking, my kids better get me this one thing for Christmas and then I'll finally know that I'm valued as a father or a husband or whatever it might be. Like, that's not what happens. We want to be seen and acknowledged, and that's the very thing that the person across from us is waiting for. The challenge of it is we have this little spark that happens to us in our head that says, hey, remember that thing you're looking for? Just give a tiny ounce of it to somebody else. Because we're all raised decent people, right? Like, we know that's what happens. Regardless of your folks, I think we all walked away from our childhood thinking, that feels good. I bet it feels good for them too. Those little nuggets. But I think whether it's bad habits or just busy schedules, we've always got some bullshit reason why we're just too busy to stop and say thanks, or I see you, or I appreciate you, or I'm grateful for you. But talk about a small, inexpensive mood that changes the tone of everything. But for whatever reason, we have our favorite excuses to just, I got stuff to do. But I would say, as we talk about starting and shifting the atmosphere in our relationships or changing that dynamic at home, I think that's one of the easiest, simplest things of just saying, I might even screw this up. But I just, before I say anything else, man, I'm just excited to see you.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan. Or, yeah, I love you 71%. And that's pretty good. I'm just kidding. But
That's a C.
That's pretty solid.
Yeah.
That's pretty solid. Passing.
Given that we're all a hot mess, that's a pretty decent score.
But I think something you said in there, I want to circle back to. Within that, the pain and suffering piece that you were talking about, which I heard somewhere, and as soon as you said, I was trying to remember where, and I can't remember the origin of this, but pain and suffering being the cornerstone of growth. Hmm. I don't think it's done there. I think the growth has to be, and tell me if I'm wrong, but this growth has to be somewhat intentional, has to be directional, has to be, you know, with Austin's help or Ben's help, but that pain and suffering piece can actually not be the cornerstone of growth, but can be turned within and just, I'm existing, I'm going to stay here and not, tell anyone, you know,
yeah.
And now you have this really dark spot that you're in and not tell anybody about.
Well, it's gotta be that choice. It's gotta be us,
right?
Anyone else shows up in our lives and says, hey, you could be a little bit more grateful. Like, none of us are taking that well.
No. Yeah.
We might, in our head, 100% agree and think, no way. There's the little boy in me that's just like, you can't tell me what to do. Yeah. So, yeah, it's got to be us pursuing that. Yeah. We've got to be looking for it and focusing an amount of time and energy into that. That there is no way we can get what we need unless we are pursuing those sorts of moments.
There is a group on here that I want to make sure that I hit, that I have us talk about, which is we've talked a little bit about relationships and those who actually are going to families, but not everybody's there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's some people who are truly alone,
mm-hmm.
and I want to speak to that, or I want all of us to kind of speak to that as well. If you're listening, then you know, turn it up a little bit, because, I mean, Ben, how about you? What, these people who, they don't have a family, or, you know, they don't have the holiday gathering.
Right.
I mean, they're listening to the three of us.
Yeah.
You know?
And whether it's the situation or being uninvited, there's some mm-hmm. real dark places. And I think it's interesting. We talk about family and connection and all those kinds of things, but if you peel back some of that stuff, we are talking about purpose. Family gives us purpose. Friendships give us purpose. But I think in the question, we're saying, what happens when you can't find anyone or thing that is taking care of you that way? That sense of belonging is critical to just development for all of us. So I do think my answer is going to be going back to this idea of being loving versus being loved. There is something really powerful about what happens to our souls when we pursue our values and when we pursue being a loving person. I think our ability to be loving is way closer connected to our self-worth than the other part that we're told sometimes. We often assume that being loved is when I eventually have value. And the challenge in that, if your value depends on being loved, it depends on them. Mm. And they are constantly defining whether or not you are good enough. The flip side of that and the being loving is something we can show up and do, and it does not require that it goes well. It requires that we show up and answer the call and do the thing that we hope happens for us. But we did our part. I think that is our work when it comes to mental health or just growing up as a person in general. But I think that's probably not my favorite answer.
Mm.
But the reality is if we want to feel connected to ourselves and to something higher than us, being loving, there's when we're looking for that, we're going to find loads of suffering. Loads of people who need to be loved. And can we show up for them to answer the question of, do I make a difference? Do I serve a purpose in this world? I think there's something really powerful about that. That is very private. It's very intimate, but I do think you get to find out a lot about yourself, and you get to find out some really cool things about yourself when we show up and be loving.
Well, I know you know, being, not to make it an AA conversation, but what comes to mind with that is some of the paradox of AA of to live, you have to die. But one of the foremost is to have something or have something exist and you have to give it away to keep it. And I feel that kind of is pertinent to this conversation with this love. Once you give that, you'll find that it returns. Generally, or some semblance of purpose and satisfaction and knowing that you aided another person's suffering. Yeah. Is that fair?
Yeah.
I'm the king of loneliness. That's what I'm going to start with.
And not, yet I saw not to be I had dinner with you and your beautiful wife last night.
Well, so we talked about it earlier. Just because we're in a room full of people doesn't mean that I feel any connection.
No, I hear you.
You know, I mean, Ben's, I sat silent just thinking about Ben's because that was
powerful,
powerful, beautiful. Like that, that is an answer that I don't think I can top because it's, I don't want to top it, but also I don't think that there's any other answer.
That's why we brought him on here.
Yeah. And he, you know, it's not my favorite answer either, by the way, because I would just, you know, you go to the old, you know, find, go find a hobby, go, you know, if we're talking on these normal, what I'm going to sit down with my free therapist via Zoom, which I do have, that's what they would say. Is get outside of yourself, you know, go what are your passions?
Mm-hmm. You good.
Yeah.
It's a good conversation.
It's a good conversation, right. But we're also, you know, 27 years in therapy here. Mm-hmm. It's been said, right? So
there's no new ideas.
No, that's my own 27 years in therapy. So, but that is a much deeper introspective answer than all of the other bullshit that people tell you to do. Sure. Because we could have just gone with that. We could have been like, oh, you know, go to the homeless shelter and give
volunteer
food out.
At the homeless shelter.
Yeah. Get outside of yourself, you know, all of those kind of things. And I mean, it is.
Doesn't that ego part play into that as well?
It could be. Depends on our, you know, kind of our intentions. I think there are some folks that do the sacrifice of time and energy and money to tell people how broken they are.
Yeah.
Just so people take care of them even more and all of the self-serving things that go along with that. But I do think there's an unsatisfying element to my point. That the reality is I think to be loving is I think it's a solid spiritual belief. But that's not always where we're at.
No.
The reality is it's a very private moment when you give and pursue purpose. And, it's a very sad moment when we give up that other people are going to say it right and do it right. And that I'm in charge of helping me or taking care of me or nurturing me. I think those are, I think that's also kind of bad news depending on where you're sitting some days.
100% is. Yeah. Well, it's bad news at first.
What's up?
It's bad news at first.
Right. See, it's very empowering overall.
It's very empowering. Right. And the problem is to try and get there.
Yeah.
Because we're all human.
Yeah.
And we're going to make a ton of mistakes along the path to that.
Sure.
You know.
I think the other piece about that is as we talk about being loving, and I kind of hinted at it earlier, there is this element of we're going to have to take a step outside of our comfort zone and tell people what we need.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we make the mistake sometimes of dumping all of our needs on people. And they're like, wow, I am leaving this conversation. This is just way too intense.
Yeah.
Don't go around Ben again.
Yeah. Walk the long way around the building so I don't have to bump into that bastard.
No, that's when you call their best friend and like, hey, you should probably check on them.
Can you arrange a spontaneous wellness check for me?
Yeah.
No, I think those are tough moments. But what I mean by that is we talk to folks who are alone, whether it's by choice or by situation, I think there's something really powerful about our ability to connect. And I think sometimes that is finding someone who can listen. I think it sounds a little strange, but for those who are in those dark spots, whether it's the Zoom therapist or someone else, I think there's something really powerful about us taking a risk during our darker times and telling a small story. Mm. And the story might be about a young version of us, or maybe it's the current version of us, but there is something really cool about connecting that way. I think that is a form of love, of us taking our guard down for a second. And we've all got 1,000 reasons why we shouldn't. And just letting someone else see and connect with us and just giving someone a chance to see this thing. I think I like that way better than the alternative of no one's going to ask. I'm not going to tell. I'm not going to take steps to be seen or to be heard. And I think there are resources and there are people that do care about us, but that's the challenge of depression. That's the challenge mm-hmm. of this holiday funk we're talking about, is that when our vision gets really clouded, we just can't see those opportunities. So we're going to have to exercise a little bit of faith and let someone in and connect with someone, even though we don't have a great
Well, it's plan. A big world and there's a lot of people in it. So it's really easy to get
lost. Yep.
Right.
And that, you know, if you're listening and this resonates with you, you're important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think there's moments in our darkness where we think we have to reprove everything about ourselves. Those who are listening to this, they've already shown up hundreds of thousands of ways that it mattered. And because there's no one presently in front of you this moment, mm-hmm. somehow we think this moment is more important than all the other efforts mm-hmm. and time and sacrifice and all that kind of stuff. And that's a pretty human mistake. But I think, again, people in this business and in this process have already done incredible things. You don't have to prove anything else. But you do have to probably just lower your guard a little bit. And maybe that's our ego. And just let someone do the thing that you've been hoping for. I think our ability to find excuses to not accept love is kind of mind-blowing. Because there are people and there are situations that are packed of meaning and connection. But we've all been given some bad education that if we just accept it or be around it, that somehow that's an admission of failure of some kind.
Well, any final thoughts as we kind of wrap this up, Austin? Anyone want to follow up on any of that?
No.
I think that was pretty amazing, Ben. Thanks. That was awesome. I do want to take a minute and give each of the opportunity to speak to this, but I just want to take a minute to thank the listeners for hanging around and tuning in. We've had a really great year. We've had some absolutely phenomenal guests on. And thank each one of those, the guests that have come on and either shared their story of heartbreak and pain and suffering, or shared their resource somehow, or lent to the improvement of our community, whoever's listening, to thank those people and then thank our listeners. Any thoughts on that, either one of you?
It's been 3 years.
Crazy. We're episode one. Well, we just posted 118.
Wow.
That is mind-boggling. When I was just joking about the fact that I bought this mic to think I was going to become a podcast master, the next Joe Rogan.
And we still have great listeners. I still get feedback saying that podcast was amazing.
Yeah. No, but I mean, for those, you know, out there in this time, I'm in the same exact spot as you, which is, look at the last year and fail to acknowledge all the good, great things that have happened and choose to focus on the things I couldn't get done or should have gotten done or didn't do. And so, you know, my goal would be to look at the next year and behave, act, do a little bit different in that aspect, be more present, enjoy the 118 episodes that we've done and not think about the fact that we didn't get to the number I had at the beginning of the, you know, all those kind of things. So we're all right here together doing this. And it's cool to be in this spot. So thank you. Yeah.
Ben, final thoughts as we close out the year on this?
Yeah, I would say all of this is nothing short of a miracle. Sure, there's the technology element of it, which I think is its own miracle. But I'm looking back on a couple of different people I was able to meet this year, and one of them is our Phoenix PD buddy.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my takeaways from this year is his message, and that is how many crazy miracles had to happen in order for us to have this one particular moment? Yep. And I think when you start to hang around folks that think like that, and you start thinking more like that, boy, it is a wild list of things. In my case, it'd be how many dumb ideas or pouty moments did my wife have to ignore to still appreciate all the things I still bring to the table. Missed opportunities with my kids or other things like that. There's some just when we keep on looking for that, I think there's nothing short of just loads of little cool miracles and opportunities that people took a chance. People had some faith. People kept on doing what they had to do in order for us to have some pretty amazing moments. So I'm super grateful for that. Again, my challenge for the upcoming year would be, how do I do that more than twice a year? But no, I'm grateful for you guys. I'm grateful for a chance to just for us to talk. I'm still shocked that there is anyone listening to this.
And tell me about it.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
man, they are loyal. They're loyal.
It's incredibly cool.
They love this thing.
It's very cool. I think there's just tons to be learned. Tons of good folks showing up in a real honest fight, doing everything they can. And they're never going to get credit. So I hope that they get more of it. But I also want to put that responsibility back on each of us. Of we've got to do a better job of showing up and saying thanks and connecting and acknowledging those cool miracles. But I'm humbled by all of it, and I'm really grateful to be a part of it. So
love it. Shout out to Jason Schechterle right mm-hmm. there. That was who. Jason's amazing. Ben was talking yep. about. Jason's a good friend.
Been, yep.
And he has a powerful message. If you have not heard him, yep. you should be intentional about trying to get to hear yep. his message. It is
good stuff.
It is definitely a miracle story. And I don't want to leave without giving a shout out to Haley, our social media gal.
Oh, yeah.
Haley, you have done a phenomenal job this year of putting us on the social media mm-hmm. platform and keeping us healthy there and getting us new listeners and new looks. And then I would just close. I feel the same way. I don't know that I could say anything more than what you guys have said. Maybe just add that, you know, we see you. We see you working hard. And keep up the hard work. Keep plowing away. And thank you so much for listening. We love you guys. Have a happy holidays, safe holidays. For those of you that are working, doesn't even have to be first responders. We know there's shift work people out there. You know, we see you too. Take time to appreciate your family. And we will see you all next year with a new set of podcasts.
Chateau Health and Wellness is a 16-bed treatment facility nestled in the foothills of the Wasatch Mountains in Midway, Utah. Chateau's First Responder Resiliency Program is designed to treat the unique challenges and issues that first responders encounter in the course of their careers. Chateau's comprehensive and highly individualized approach to treatment addresses more than just the presenting issues. It addresses the why. Each of their seasoned, trauma-trained, and culturally competent therapists utilize evidence-based, specialized therapies to treat trauma at its core and enable clients to begin the healing process while developing a resilient and healthy relationship with stress. Chateau Health and Wellness is trusted by departments and agencies from around the country to treat responders and veterans. In fact, it is one of only a handful of facilities nationwide that is vetted and approved to treat members of the Fraternal Order of Police. For more information or to speak to a representative, go to chateaurecovery.com or call 888-507-5031.